Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a spiritual warfare podcast. I'm Steve Hemphill, and our website is active-faith.org. Our goal is to take back territory, expel evil, and heal through spiritual growth. Today, the topic is prayer and scripture are weapons. This Battle Plan episode is one of several in a series on spiritual weapons available to all Christians. I've discovered over 70 weapons in all, so come along for the ride as we evaluate these together and improve your ability to fight Satan's advances on your life. The idea here is to keep adding weapons until what you're praying for begins to happen. You might even think of some I haven't discovered yet, so let this series encourage you to be creative as you make personal progress against your unseen enemies.
And welcome back to spiritual weapon number 9 in our list of spiritual weapons for volume 1, spoken bindings. Now, we've already covered prayer, scripture, prayer plus touch, prayer plus fasting, prayer plus watching, prayer plus oil, prayer plus confession, and spoken truth. The first 8. Now we're ready for number 9, spoken bindings. Let's begin with Joshua 9, verse 15. Then Joshua made a peace treaty with them and guaranteed their safety, and the leaders of the community ratified their agreement with a binding oath. Now, these people came to Joshua when they were conquering the land of Canaan and pretended to be from far away, and Joshua didn't check with God first. He went ahead and made a treaty with them to have peace with them, not realizing they were from very nearby. But even so, even though they were tricked, these spoken statements were legally binding for God's people. So we are seeing that spoken statements in the seen world are binding in the unseen world. Hebrews 6:16, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it, and without any question, that oath is binding. So these what we're binding as we speak it in the seen is happening in the real world. Now, Jesus taught this principle of binding in the seen world with a story in Matthew 12:29. He says, you can't go plunder another man's house unless you first bind the strong man. Then you can plunder his house. So this binding idea was initiated by Jesus. And then in Matthew 16:19, he goes further. He applied this principle to the unseen world. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We also see that same thing in Matthew 18:18. The Amplified Version reads a little differently, but he says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven or in the unseen realm. So Jesus, again, applied this principle of binding to the unseen world. And then it's very important to note that he gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 isn't just to the 12, it's to us, it's to his disciples, his followers. He delegates his authority over demons to all his followers. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. So this gives us authority to bind an enemy, even though it's an unseen enemy. And remember, Peter walked in the authority on water when Jesus gave him the authority until he focused on what was around him instead of the authority he had to walk on water. So Dr. Todd's friend is a story to help illustrate this. When I met Dr. Todd, it was at a convention, and his best friend was going through a divorce. And when he went home and took the stakes in my book and told them the story of how we were using God's word to stake property and make a difference in the atmosphere and help people's lives, his friend's wife was already gone with the baby. They were married for several years. They had a handicapped child, which is very tough on a marriage. The job that Todd's friend had took a lot of hours. He was working a lot of hours. And one day when he came home from work, his wife said, I just can't do this anymore with this handicapped child. It's so difficult. I love you, but I'm going to divorce you, and I'm going to move back to North Carolina. and be near my parents, who are both retired. They can help me take care of this handicapped child. He begged her not to go. He said he'd get a job that didn't take as many hours. They could move into a home that was less expensive, a little smaller, and he would help more. But it was too late. She'd already made her decision. So by the time Dr. Todd's found out about my stakes and took them home, his friend's wife was already gone with their child and half the furniture. But there's a 60-day waiting period before the divorce is pronounced final. And so Dr. Todd and his friends staked their house, although only the husband still lived in the house. But they were invoking the word of God, changing the deed, giving the property to God, and asking him to heal the situation. So the 60-day time frame was up. The lady came back from North Carolina to, I think it was Illinois, and went to the courthouse. They had an appointed court time that afternoon. Dr. Todd is sitting there with his friend on a bench waiting to go in and have the judge pronounce the divorce final. The wife, who's about to be an ex-wife, is sitting down the hall a little further on a bench with her lawyer. And just before it's their time to go into the courtroom, she gets up, she walks over to her husband and stops right in front of him and said, "God just spoke to me. Three words. He said, don't do this. So I'm not going to go through with the divorce. I'll come back home and we'll work this out." And they did. And Dr. Todd told me the story, and he said, "I know every story can't end as well as this one did, but I just had to tell you the good news about this family." We also had a public school that I was asked to help stake out. Lots of bad things going on in our public schools. We staked the property and prayed at each corner. We bound the demons attacking the school and asked it to be a place of safety for those kids, and everything changed at that school. It became a place of peace and happiness. Many good things began to happen after that. And then I'd already told you the story of Billy, who couldn't read the Bible or pray. And we covered this, part of his story in weapon number 3, as we covered prayer plus touch. But another very important aspect of his story is when I prayed over Billy, and I gave you the prayer earlier, I prayed that we bound any demons attached to him because of the porn he'd been looking at. We bound them in Jesus' name and ask them to be put in the pit in chains until judgment, and that no similar demons could take their place. And everything changed for Billy. He could read the Bible and pray after we did that. These spoken bindings work. They work. Believe. Lord, I haven't really always understood my authority as a child of God. Help me to realize the power of my position in the spiritual realm and learn to properly exercise that power so people around me can be free from the grip of sin and death on their lives. Help those who hear these powerful words to have faith in your ability to change their reality and free them forever through an ongoing personal relationship with your Son, Jesus, and through obedient response to your commands. In Jesus' name, amen. We have one more weapon to go in volume 1 of Spiritual Weapons. It'll be number 10 next time, a spoken rebuke. And let me remind you to keep praying, because prayer works. God loves you, and I love you. Have a great day.